Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Older Military Radio, coming to you live at 9 a.m. Central Time on Monday, the double first-class feast day of the Solemnity of St. Joseph. Today, I'm trying to stay out of politics and everything else going on in the secular realm of the world. But first, big shout-out to Tommy Robinson and everybody at the Speaker's Corner. On a huge turnout. Sad to say Antifa and the Islamic terrorists had to show up and ruin the event afterwards. And prayers to all of the victims in the great state and city of Austin, Texas. For those who have been injured, and may St. Joseph console those who have been injured in their families and those who have died from those awful explosions. And may St. Anthony of Padua help the Austin, Texas Police Department find this bomber or bombers and bring him or them to justice. As I said in the opening, this is the Solemnity of St. Joseph. If there was time this morning to do a show earlier, I would have, but I attended Mass the only way I can, as being homebound. I watched it on EWTN. It was beautiful and amazing. If any members of Ordo Militaris are listening and would like to call in and just talk on St. Joseph, have a nice discussion, join me. Number is 323-870-4607. Or if you're international members of Ordo Militaris Catholicus, call in +1-323-870-4607. Like to hear from our members. See how everyone is doing. Be a good way to talk to you, and we can talk about St. Joseph. Now I mentioned it's a double first class feast day. Who is responsible for doing that? That would be none other than Blessed Pope Pius IX, the patron of our Ordo Militaris radio studio. Because I have on my radio studio desk where I do the radio programs, one of two relics of Blessed Pope Pius IX. When I was first getting ill with this horrible, still mysterious illness, has pretty much homebound me, disabled me. I was fortunate enough to write to his postulator before he died. He gave me two of them, one with a piece of his cassock and one that just touched his body. The one with his cassock is sitting on top of my bookcase with all my church books and military history books, along with other numerous relics I've gathered since being ill. All the saints I have a devotion to I have thankfully been able to get a relic of them, or many of them. The Order of St. Paul of the Cross, the Passionists, have been pretty darn generous. They have given me a relic of almost all their saints. I just asked for the relic of St. Paul of the Cross, and they gave me two of them, and two of Gabriel Sorrows, Maria Goretti, one from Ireland, one from Maria Goretti I gave to a girl at a Catholic bookstore we used to go to before it got a little hard for me to travel. Her confirmation saint was Maria Goretti, so I thought, well, I have it on hand, and I don't really have the space to display it, so give it to her. Now, St. Joseph. This document is by Pope Pius IX on December 8, 1870. The Sacred Congregation of Rites promulgated the following decree, which communicated the decision of Pope Pius IX to declare St. Joseph patron of the Universal Catholic Church, and which also raises St. Joseph's feast day of March 19th, today, to the rank of double of the first class. The text. As Almighty God appointed Joseph, son of the patriarch Jacob, over all the land of Egypt to save grain for the people, so when the fullness of time had come and he was about to send to earth his only begotten son, the Savior of the world, he chose another Joseph, of whom the first had been the type, and he made him the Lord and chief of his household and possessions, the guardian of his choicest treasures. Indeed, he had as his spouse the Immaculate Virgin Mary, of whom was born of the Holy Spirit Jesus Christ our Lord, who dying to be reputed in the sight of men as the son of Joseph, and was subject to him. Him who countless kings and prophets had desired to see, Joseph not only saw, but conversed with him, and embraced in paternal affection, and kissed. He most diligently reared him, whom the faithful were to receive as the bread that came down from heaven, whereby they might obtain eternal life. Because of the sublime dignity which God conferred on the most faithful servant, the Church has always most highly honored and praised the blessed Joseph next to his spouse, the Virgin Mother of God, and has besought his intercession in time of trouble. And now, therefore, when in these most troublesome times the Church is beset by enemies on every side and is weighed down by calamities so heavy, that ungodly men assert that the gates of hell have at length prevailed against her, the venerable prelates of the whole Catholic world have presented to the Sovereign Pontiff their own petitions and those of the faithful committed to their charge, praying that he would deign to constitute St. Joseph patron of the Church, and this time their prayer and desire was renewed by them even more earnestly at the Sacred Ecumenical Council of the Vatican. Accordingly, it has now pleased our most holy sovereign, Pope Pius IX, in order to entrust himself and all the faithful to the Patriarch St. Joseph's most powerful patronage, has chosen to comply with the prelate's desires, and has so many declared him patron of the Catholic Church. He has also ordered that his feast, March 19th, henceforth celebrated as a double of the first class, without any octave, however, because of Lent. He arranged, moreover, that a declaration to this effect be promulgated through the present decree of the Sacred Congregation of Rites on this day sacred to the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God, the most chaste spouse, Joseph's. All things to the contrary notwithstanding. That was the decree of Pope Pius IX. Now blessed. There's a lot of things to talk on about St. Joseph. A few things we may not even knew about or heard of, because we never heard of those stories or things that have been long forgotten since the liberal and modernists have regained power in the church. One is a Benedictine priest and monk, Father Paul of Mol. Now, where's Mol? Well, it's in the Netherlands. So, to my friends and listeners and followers in the Netherlands, research Father Paul. Learn of him. Ask his intercession. Become a devotee of St. Benedict and St. Joseph put together. And may Father Paul, through St. Benedict and St. Joseph, help restore the Netherlands and Belgium. Now, I got this book from Tan. It's on Father Paul. Father Paul of Mol, the Benedictine Wonder Worker. By Edward Van Spaybroek. Page 239. Some of Father Paul's sayings. This has all been proven true. All factual, truthful, approved by the church. Because when I read it the first time, I was like, whoa. Is blown, literally, about what you're going to hear about St. Joseph and how we need to spread devotion to him even more. Father Paul said to a person from Wolfskamp, in an ecstasy, a saint has seen the body of St. Joseph preserved intact in a tomb, the sight of which is yet unknown. The more the glorious spouse of the Most Blessed Virgin is honored, the sooner will the finding of the body take place, which will be a day of great joy for the Church. Isn't that amazing? All these things were before, they were still in the 1800s, back when the faith was still taught. Even in the Netherlands, where it went off the rails big time. Let me repeat this to you. This is amazing. Father Paul said to a person from Oostkamp, in an ecstasy, a saint has seen the body of Saint Joseph preserved in an intact in a tomb, the sight of which is yet unknown, the more the glorious spouse of the Most Blessed Virgin is honored, the sooner will the finding of his body take place, which will be a day of great joy for the Church, and a great day of terror for the heretics and the demons. I would like to add, so while we're doing this show for St. Joseph, we also got to spread devotion to him. Back then, to spread devotion to someone, you had to send a letter. And since it was in the 1800s, to send a letter overseas, you had to put it on a ship. Yeah. some places the phone was there, but not the best kind of phone, not like we have today, and I'm not even sure the radio was invented then. But today is St. Joseph's Day. As the approved quote from Father Paul of Mol, approved by the church, the more the devotion of St. Joseph is spread, and the more he is honored, the sooner the body of him in the tomb will be found and made known, which will be a glorious day for the church. Just like tradition has it for Moses, his body is hidden as well with the ark. So too is the body of Saint Joseph. God is protecting it. He is waiting for us to spread devotion and honor him even more than he is today. Until that time, we will not know where he was buried. So let's start honoring him even more. Let's get devotion spread to him even more. There's the chaplet, the litany of St. Joseph, the masses for St. Joseph, speaking of all the things we can do for devotion to St. Joseph, there is a story I just can't forget by Mother Angelica when she did her live programs. She said when she was traveling on a train, I think in Europe or somewhere, some guy was beating up on a woman or a wife or girlfriend, and the lady asked St. Joseph for help. The mother saw something through the window that looked like an image of St. Joseph you would see in a painting or a holy card of St. Joseph. And Joseph, according to Mother Angelica, knocked the abuser out cold. That's what I call a protector. And I believe Mother Angelica when she said she saw that happen. So, one of the many famous stories of Mother Angelica. The lady was getting beat up on a train by a boyfriend or a husband or somebody, and she asked for help from St. Joseph to protect her. St. Joseph appeared and delivered a knockout blow to protect her. It's like those stories you hear still of Padre Pio delivering the slaps from heaven. I asked, I think it was Michael Hitchborn of the Ponto Institute, that I wonder if it's time for, I asked if we asked Saint Padre Pio for some slaps from heaven to help clean up the church, and he's like, maybe, but I don't want to ask because, that'd be kind of scary. Yeah, I agree. Now, another thing we haven't heard much on, or hardly ever, that St. Joseph was also there at the miracle of the sun in Fatima. You're probably scratching your head. What? He was there? Absolutely. This was October 5th, 2017. From LifeSite News by Matthew McCusker. He writes, "The Voice of the Family." 13th October 2017 will be the 100-year anniversary of the miracle of the sun and the final apparition of Our Lady of Fatima, despite being essential for understanding the period of history that we are now living through. The details of these remarkable events are far too little known, including amongst Catholics. In this article, we wish to draw attention to the much neglected role of Saint Joseph during that momentous event. As I like to say, you ready to get your socks blown off here? Because when you watch the movie Fatima on EWTN, or if you read a book on Fatima or something on Fatima, you never hear about Saint Joseph. Why is that? Why is he forgotten or neglected or hidden from the events of Fatima when he was truly there at Fatima with Our Lady and his spouse? Well, it could be those in charge of writing church history or things like that, who are liberals or moderates or heretics, decided, you know what? Let's forget about St. Joseph. Because it's like demons, they can't sit in the sight of St. Joseph. Now let's see what St. Joseph had to do in Fatima. Following the miracle of the sun and the culmination of Our Lady's final apparition, St. Joseph also appeared to the three young seers. Father John de Marquet, in his book, The True Story of Fatima, describes it as follows. To the left of the sun, St. Joseph appeared holding in his left arm the child Jesus. St. Joseph emerged from the bright clouds only to his chest, sufficient to allow him to raise his right hand and make, together with the child Jesus, the sign of the cross three times over the world. As St. Joseph did this, Our Lady stood in all her brilliancy to the right of the sun, dressed in the blue and white robes of Our Lady of the Rosary. Meanwhile, Francisco, Jacinta, were bathed in the marvelous colors and signs of the sun, and Lucia was privileged to gaze upon our Lord, dressed in red as the divine Redeemer, blessing the world as Our Lady had foretold. Like St. Joseph, he was seen only from his chest up. Beside him stood Our Lady, dressed now in the purple robes of Our Lady of Sorrows, but without the sword. Finally, the Blessed Virgin appeared again to Lucia in all her ethereal brightness, clothed in the simple brown robes of Mount Carmel. This final apparition at Fatima points us towards three particular forms of devotion towards Our Lady that we are called to practice during this final battle against Satan. These devotions, too, were sorrowful and immaculate heart, the rosary, and the brown scapular. However, it is of the greatest importance to note that the final apparition of Fatima also directs us toward the intercession of Saint Joseph, whom our Lord intimately associated with himself in his blessing of the world. Father de Marquis wrote, "Our Lord, already so much offended by the sins of mankind, and particularly by the mistreatment of the children by the officials of the county, could easily have destroyed the world on that eventful day. However, our Lord did not come to destroy, but to save. He saved the world that day through the blessing of good Saint Joseph and the love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary for her children on earth. Our Lord would have stopped the great world war then, raging, and given peace to the world through Saint Joseph." Jacinta later declared, "If the children had not been arrested and taken to Outram, so if the children had not been arrested and taken to the prison, when the mayor came to their house and lied to them that he was going to give them a ride to the place where they go to meet Our Lady in Fatima, if they did not get picked up by the mayor and said no thank you and just went their way, Our Lord would have stopped the great World War I, then raging, and given peace to the entire world through Saint Joseph." Think of that. Think of that. The Great War could have ended a year early, and peace would have reigned throughout the world, if it wasn't for the mayor and the police of the county and the city arresting the three children and putting them in the prison. Think of that, folks. Think of that. That is amazing. Instead of our Armistice Day, the day where the peace treaty was signed, where the Great War ended after around 1918, 1919, around there. It could have been over in a year before. Lives would have been saved. Then, peace would have broken out throughout the entire world. So I'm guessing if they were not arrested and not picked up by the mayor, I wonder if that would have meant no Second World War, nothing afterwards. If that is so, if they weren't arrested, peace would have flourished throughout the world, and there wouldn't have been a Second World War. No Holocaust would have happened. No people being killed, slaughtered in the gas chambers. Nothing would have happened, I'm guessing, if the children had not been arrested and taken to that prison. When you see that movie Fatima again, Fatima on EWTN, you know the spot I'm talking about, because the carriage with the horses and the mayor are pointing in the opposite direction of where they go to. And they're like, "This ain't the way to the place. I know. Go and take a shortcut. They kidnapped the children, lied to them, and threw them in prison because, well, they did the duty of Our Lady by not divulging the secrets. Now, if none of that would have happened, the Great War would have been over. Maybe a year early, maybe more early, and peace would have flourished throughout the world. But I want to, but it just, for curiosity hits me. As I'm wondering, would that have even stopped the Second World War? And all the death and bloodshed and everything. That's an amazing thing. That's a link here. Let's see here. Let's see here. I want to see what this link says. It goes to, goes with this new information about the apparition. Excuse me. Alright, here's a little something. Our Lady to Lucia asks, I want you to continue to come to the Cova Day, the era, on the 13th, and to continue to say the rosary every day. Lucia then told Our Lady of her anguish at the unbelief of so many in the reality of her presence. She asked Our Lady if she would be willing to perform a miracle so that all might see and believe. Yes, Our Lady answered. In the last month, in October, I shall perform a miracle so that all may believe in my apparitions. If they had not taken you to the village, the miracle would have been greater. Saint Joseph will come with the baby Jesus to give peace to the world. Our Lord will also come to bless the people. Besides, Our Lady of the Rosary and Our Lady of Sorrows will come. Lucia remembered Senhora de Capelina's request and said, What do you wish us to do with the money and offerings that the people leave at the Cova de Ira? Have two litters made. One is to be carried by you and Jacinta and two other girls dressed in white. The other one is to be carried by Francisco and three other boys. The litters are for the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And the money that is left over will help towards the construction of the chapel that is to be built. Lucia then spoke to Our Lady of the sick. You have been recommended to her. Yes, I shall cure some of them within the year. But she went on teaching them to pray rather for the health of souls than of bodies. Pray, pray a great deal and make sacrifices for sinners. For many souls go to hell for not having someone to pray and make sacrifices for them. So the miracle of the sun was the secondary miracle that Our Lady as a sign that everything was true, along with our Lord coming to bless the people and with Saint Joseph coming as well. The first actual miracle that would have been done would have been Saint Joseph ending the Great War and giving peace to the entire world. Is all we have in that document on the events that took place at Fatima. Doesn't say what would happen, how things would have gone, because they were arrested, and so we don't know, but we could just possibly imagine with our imaginations on what could have happened if they weren't arrested. Now, continuing with the article that the quote came from. On the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December 8, 1870, Blessed Pope Pius IX, following appeals received from bishops worldwide, had declared St. Joseph to be the patron of the Universal Church. In the most sorrowful time, when the Church herself was beset by enemies on every side and oppressed by heavy calamities, so that impious men imagined that the gates of hell are at length prevailing against her. In Pope Leo XIII, to whom it was revealed in 1884 that Satan would be given, for a time, increased power to work for the destruction of the Church, instituted a new devotion to St. Joseph. In his encyclical letter, Quam Pluris, promulgated on the Feast of the Assumption, 15th August, 1889, the Supreme Pontiff wrote, "During the periods of stress and trial, chiefly when every lawlessness of act seems permitted to the powers of darkness, it has been the custom in the Church to plead with special fervor and perseverance to God, her author and protector, by recourse to the intercession of the saints, and chiefly of the Blessed Virgin, Mother of God, whose patronage has ever been the most efficacious." Now, I want to go back to the first point of the part of Pope Leo XIII. In 1884, Satan would be given 100 years to be increased in power for the work of the destruction of the Church. And a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, it hit me about all the things going on in the Church, all the heresies going on, all the horrible news coming out of the Church about the different horrible sinfulness of the cardinals and the bishops taking part in gay orgies. God, forgive me for saying it. And it hit me about what Pope Leo XIII had in his vision with our Lord, St. Michael, and the devil. When our Lord was asked by Satan, "Could you give me a little bit more time to do my evil work?" He's like, "How much time?" 100 years increased in power. Okay. We got it. That's when we got the prayer for St. Michael the Archangel. And it hit me. All the things going on in the Church. All the corruption, mess with the liturgy, everything. It fell into the 100 years. And when the Vatican Council II ended, it was still within the 100 years. So all the errors that came out of the Vatican Council II, everything fell in the 100 years given by our Lord to Satan. When was the 100 years over? 1984, folks. That is when 100 years given by our Lord to Satan was over. 1984. And the heirs permitted by our Lord, continue. He's permitting what's going on. I believe as a test to see who's faithful to him. Now back to the words of Pope Leo XIII. He further explained, "We see faith, the root of all the Christian virtues, lessening in many souls. We see charity growing cold, the young generation daily growing in depravity of morals and views. The Church of Jesus Christ attacked on every side by open force or craft. A relentless war waged against the sovereign pontiff, and the very foundations of religion undermined with a boldness which waxes daily in intensity. These things are indeed so much a matter of notoriety that it is needless for us to expatiate on the depths to which society has sunk in these days, or on the designs which now agitate the minds of men. In circumstances so unhappy and troublous, human remedies are insufficient, and it becomes necessary, as a sole resource, to beg for assistance from the divine power." Mm-hmm. Sorry, having a hot cocoa here. We're getting the first blast of what will come to the East Coast for the next nor'easter. Right now, it's not too bad. It's still more coming in from the west, so sleet, rain, snow, all the nasty stuff. So, those of my listeners on the East Coast, prepare for your next nor'easter. It's going to be a booger. The article writer goes on. More than a century after the promulgation of this encyclical, the evils identified by Pope Leo XIII have intensified to a degree that would have been inconceivable. To most people, in 1889, thousands of innocent children are slaughtered every day with approval of governments that ought to be defending them. The sanctity of marriage is defiled by divorce, adultery, and contraception, and the bonds between parents and the children are being deliberately targeted for destruction by the most powerful states and institutions in the world. Worst of all, the Pope himself is responsible for the spread of heresies, which are leading the flock away from Christ and toward eternal damnation. He speaks of Pope Francis in the heretical document Amoris Laetitia. Pope Leo XIII urged the faithful, just as Our Lady would do 28 years later at Fatima, to combat these evils through the power and prayer of the Rosary. This is our weapon to defeat the errors going on right now and since the time of Pope Leo XIII. Pray the Rosary. And have a great devotion to Saint Joseph. As this proximity of the month of October, which we have already consecrated to the Virgin Mary under the title of Our Lady of the Rosary, we earnestly exhort the faithful to perform the exercises of this month with, if possible, even more piety consistency than heretofore. We know that there is sure help in the maternal goodness of the Virgin, and we are very certain that we shall never vainly place our trust in her. If on an innumerable occasion she has displayed her power in aid of the Christian world, why should we doubt that she will now renew the assistance of her power and favor, if humble and constant prayers are offered up on all sides of her? Nay, we rather believe that her intercession will be more marvelous, as she has permitted us to pray to her for so long a time of special need, special appeals. But then, once more anticipating Fatima, he directed the faithful also towards to Saint Joseph. But we entertain another object with according to your want, venerable brethren. You will advance the fervor that God may be more favorable to our prayers, that he may come with bounty and promptitude to the aid of his church. We judge it of deep utility for the Christian people continually to invoke with great piety and trust, together with the Virgin Mother of God, her chaste spouse, the Blessed Joseph. And we regard it as most certain that his will be most pleasing to the Virgin herself. How do you think now the information about Saint Joseph being at Fatima was either skipped or deliberately left out? Because of what we have just heard so far. One of the saints, either Saint Bernard of Clairvaux or one of them. So Saint Joseph is the most neglected and forgotten person of the Holy Family. How could you have a Holy Family without the Father, Joseph? But it is true. We have way more feasts and devotions to Our Lady and to Our Lord. Not as many to Saint Joseph. And as we read about Our Lady of the Rosary, what was her original title given to us by Pope Saint Pius V after the great naval victory of the Holy League of 1571 against the Islamist naval forces? Our Lady of Victory. And speaking of Our Lady of Victory in the Lepanto battle, get your flag of the Holy League, 1571. Get your official historical reproduction copyrighted by Ordo Militaris Catholicus. It is beautiful. If you want an actual cloth version on cloth, like a tapestry, we can do that too, but it will be even more expensive. So, if you want the tapestry type flag of the Lepanto, contact us and tell us that you want it. Otherwise, you can order the flag on the website at ordo-militaris.us. On the homepage, you'll see an image of the Holy League flag. Click that. It'll take you right to the flag page where you can order the flags we offer. Or if you want the cloth version printed on cloth, like a tapestry, contact us and we'll have it made for you. But it'll be a little more expensive, but it'll be a very awesome thing to have. I think every parish, Catholic parish, should be getting this tapestry version of the Lepanto flag. So to Father Z out there, spread the word to all your priest friends. Tell them to take a collection to get this Lepanto flag for their church. Get it for the pilgrimage you do. Get it for the March for Life. Again, the website is ordo-militaris.us. On the homepage of Ordo Militaris Catholicus, you'll see up in the right-hand corner the image of the Holy League flag. Click it. It'll go directly to the place we need to go to order the flag. Get yourself a flag or two or how many you can afford. Get them today. All right, back to the story now. Further, Pope Leo XIII explained, "Divine House, which Joseph ruled with the authority of a father, contained within its limits the scarce-born church. From the same fact that the Most Holy Virgin is the Mother of Jesus Christ, is she the mother of all Christians whom she bore on Mount Calvary, amid the supreme throes of the redemption. Jesus Christ is, in a manner, the firstborn of Christians, who by the adoption and redemption are his brothers. And for such reasons, the Blessed Patriarch looks upon the multitude of Christians who make up the Church as confided especially to his trust. This limitless family spread over the earth over which, because he is the spouse of Mary and the father of Jesus Christ, he holds, as it were, a paternal authority. It is then natural and worthy that the blessed Joseph minister to all the needs of the family at Nazareth and girt it about with his protection. He should now cover with the cloak of his heavenly patronage and defend the Church of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Holy Father instituted a new prayer to be said after the Holy Rosary throughout the month of October. He intended this prayer to be said not just in October 1889, but in October every year, as we prepare for the 100th anniversary of the miracle of the Son. Let us learn the lesson of St. Joseph's apparition at Fatima and turn to him for help and protection. St. Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us. The prayer of Pope Leo XIII to St. Joseph after the Holy Rosary for the month of October. In nomine Patri et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. To thee, O blessed Joseph, do we have recourse in our tribulation. Now, having implored the help of thy thrice holy spouse, we confidently invoke thy patronage also. By that charity wherewith thou wast united to the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God, and by that fatherly affection with which thou didst embrace the child Jesus, we beseech thee, and we humbly pray, that thou wouldest look graciously upon the inheritance which Jesus Christ has purchased by his blood, and assist us in our needs by thy power and strength. Most watchful guardian of the Holy Family, protect the chosen people of Jesus Christ. Keep far from us, most loving Father, all blight of error and corruption. Mercifully assist us from heaven. Most mighty defender, in this our conflict with the power of darkness, and even as the old thou didst rescue the child Jesus from the supreme peril of his life, so now defend God's holy church from the snares of the enemy and from all adversity. Keep us one and all under thy continual protection, that we may be supported by thine example and thine assistance, may by enabled to lead a holy life and die a happy death, and come at last to the possession of everlasting blessedness in heaven. Amen. Nomine Patri et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. You can read the rest of this on the show page here. I got a little small here. I'll edit that after we're done. Make it a little more bigger, a little bigger so you can read it. Now, the importance of devotion to St. Joseph. First off, St. Teresa of Avila, Doctor of Church. Would that I could persuade all men to be devoted to this glorious St. Joseph. For I know by long experience what blessings he can obtain for us from God. I have never known anyone who was truly devoted to him and honored him by particular services who did not advance greatly in virtue. For he helps in a special way those souls who commend themselves to him. It is now very many years since I began asking him for something on his feast, and I have always received it. If the petition was in any way amiss, he rectified it for my greater good. I ask for the love of God that he does not leave me. I ask for the love of God that he who does not believe me will make the trial for himself. Then he will find out by experience the great good that results from him commending oneself to the glorious patriarch and being devoted to Him. Words of Our Lady to Venerable Mary of Greta. The children of the world are ignorant regarding the privileges and rights which the Most High has conferred on my holy spouse, and by the power of His intercession with Divine Majesty, and with me, but I assure you, my daughter, that in heaven He is most intimate with the Lord, and has great power to avert the punishment and divine justice from sinners. In all trials, seek His intercession, because the Heavenly Father will grant whatever my spouse asks. On the day of judgment, the condemned will weep bitterly for not having realized how powerful and efficacious a means of salvation they might have had in the intercession of St. Joseph, and for not having done their utmost to gain the friendship of the Eternal Judge. St. Alfonso Liguori, Doctor of the Church. On St. Joseph, Patron of the Happy Death. Since we all must die, we should cherish a special devotion to St. Joseph, that he may obtain for us a happy death. All Christians regard him as the advocate of the dying. We had honored him during their life, and they do so for three reasons. First, because Jesus Christ loved him not only as a friend, but as a father. And on this account, his meditation is far more efficacious than that of any other saint. Second, because St. Joseph has obtained special power against the evil spirits who tempt us with redoubled vigor at the hour of death. Third, the assistance given by St. Joseph at his death by Jesus and Mary obtained for him the right to secure a holy and peaceful death for his servants. Hence, if they invoke him at the hour of death, it will not only help them, but he will also obtain for them the assistance of Jesus and Mary. And how many have you heard of Saint Brother André Bessette from Montreal, Canada, at the Shrine of Saint Joseph? There's a beautiful movie I got of him, where one of the older priests said, "Get me some oil from the lamp that was burning in front of St. Joseph's statue." By it burning in front of St. Joseph's statue, it means it is blessed by St. Joseph. And it's called St. Joseph's oil. And this older priest said, "There will come a time when you'll be so busy giving out this oil, healing those through the intercession of St. Joseph." And sure enough, he became super busy with that. That even the priests and the other brothers of the Holy Cross at the College of Montreal wanted to ship him to some faraway place up in Northern Canada, where it is deserted, super cold, with the illnesses and weakness of St. André Bessette, you would surely have died. But the people made sure they couldn't send him away. And there was thousands of healings to St. Joseph in the St. Joseph oil. When you get down here, Google St. Joseph oil and Brother André. Something for you to read about. And finally, do we know how St. Joseph died? Yeah, we do. Comes from Venerable Mary Agreda, one of her approved visions. And I would like to read it to you right now to end the program. The Happy Death of St. Joseph by Venerable Mother Mary of Jesus of Agreda in her book, The Mystical City of God. Is a huge four-volume history of the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as revealed by Our Lady to the Spanish nun. The work has been acclaimed by popes, cardinals, theologians, inspired readers for over 300 years. Included in this work is the following account of the holy death of St. Joseph, given to the holy nun by Our Lady herself. The account is very inspiring and shows why the Church has acclaimed St. Joseph as the patron of a happy death. The English translation of this work has been as the imprimatur of the former Archbishop of Santa Fe. The text goes, already 8 years, St. Joseph has been exercised by his infirmities and sufferings, and his noble soul has been purified more and more each day in the crucible of affliction and of divine love. As the time passed, his bodily strength gradually diminished. He approached the unavoidable end, in which the stipend of death is paid by all of us children of Adam. In like manner also increase the care and solicitude of his heavenly spouse, our Queen, assisting and serving him with unbroken punctuality, perceiving in her exalted wisdom that the day and hour for his departure from his cumbrous earth was very near. The loving lady betook herself to her blessed Son and said to him, Lord God, Most High, Son of the Eternal Father, and Savior of the world, by thy divine light I see this hour approaching, which thou hast decreed for the death of thy servant Joseph. I beseech thee by thy ancient mercies, and by the infinite bounty to assist him in that hour by thy almighty power. Let his death be as precious in the eyes as the uprightness of his life was pleasing to thee, so that he may depart in peace and in certain hope of the eternal reward to be given to him on the day in which thou shalt open the gates of heaven for all the faithful. Be mindful, my son, of the humility and love of thy servant, of exceeding great merits and virtues, of the fidelity and solicitude by which this just man has supported thee and me, thy humble handmaid, in the sweat of his brow. Our Savior answered, my mother, thy request is pleasing to me, and the merits of Joseph are acceptable in my eyes. I will now assist him and will assign him a place among the princes of my people, so high that he will be the admiration of the angels, and will cause them and all men to break forth in highest praise. With none of the human born shall I do as with thy spouse. The great lady gave thanks to her sweetest son for this promise, and for 9 days and nights before the death of St. Joseph, he uninterruptedly enjoyed the company and attendance of Mary or her divine son. By command of the Lord, the holy angels three times on each of the 9 days furnished celestial music, mixing their hymns of praise with the benedictions of the sick man. Moreover, their humble but most precious dwelling was filled with the sweetest fragrance and odor so wonderful that they comforted not only St. Joseph, but invigorated all the numerous persons who happened to come near the house. One day before he died, being wholly inflamed with divine love on account of these blessings, he was wrapped in an ecstasy which lasted 24 hours. The Lord himself supplied strength for this miraculous intercourse. In this ecstasy he saw clearly the divine essence, and manifested therein all that he had believed by faith, the incomprehensible divinity, the mystery of the incarnation and redemption, the militant church with all its sacraments and mysteries. The Blessed Trinity commissioned and assigned him as the messenger of our Savior to the holy patriarchs and prophets of Limbo, and commanded him to prepare them for their issuing forth from this bosom of Abraham to the eternal rest and happiness. All issuing forth from this bosom of Abraham to eternal rest and happiness. Sorry, I just had to repeat that. All most holy Mary saw reflected in the soul of her divine Son, together with all the other mysteries, just as they had been made known to her beloved spouse. She offered her sincerest thanks for all this to her Lord. When St. Joseph issued from this ecstasy, his face shone with wonderful splendor, and his soul was entirely transformed by his vision of the essence of God. He asked his blessed spouse to give him her benediction, but she requested her divine Son to bless him in her stead, which he did, and the great queen of humility, falling on her knees, besought St. Joseph to bless her, as being her husband and head. Not without divine impulse, the man of God fulfilled this request for the consolation of his most prudent spouse. She kissed the hand with which he blessed her, and asked him to salute the just ones in Limbo in her name. The most humble Joseph, sealing his life with an act of self-abasement, asked pardon for his heavenly spouse for all the deficiencies in her service and love, and begged her to grant him her assistance and intercession in this hour of passing away. The holy man also rendered humblest thanks to her Son for all the blessings of his life, and especially for those received during the sickness. The last words which St. Joseph spoke to his spouse were, "Blessed art thou among women, and elect of all the creatures. Let angels and men praise thee. Let all the generations know and praise and exalt thy dignity. And may in thee be known, adored, and exalted in the name of the Most High through all the coming ages. May he be eternally praised for having created thee, so pleasing in his eyes and in the sight of all blessed spirits. I hope to enjoy thy sight in the heavenly fatherland." Awesome, touching, and amazement. In this man of God, turning towards Christ our Lord in profoundest reverence, wished to kneel before him. But the sweetest Jesus, coming near, received him in his arms, where reclining his head upon them, Joseph said, "My highest Lord and God, Son of the Eternal Father, Creator and Redeemer of the world, give us thy blessing to thy servant and works of thy hand. Pardon, O most merciful King, the faults which I have committed in thy service and intercourse. I extol and magnify thee, and render eternal and heartfelt thanks to thee for having in thy infinite condescension chosen me to be the spouse of thy true mother. Let thy greatness and glory be my thanksgiving for all eternity." The Redeemer of the world gave him his benediction, saying, "My Father, rest in peace. in the grace of my eternal Father and mine. And to the prophets and the saints, who await thee in limbo, bring the joyful news of the approach of the redemption. At these words of Jesus, inclining his arms, the most fortunate Saint Joseph expired, and the Lord himself closed his eyes. At the same time, the multitude of angels, who attended upon their king and queen, intoned hymns of praise in loud and harmonious voices. By command of the Lord, they carried his most holy soul to the gathering places of the patriarchs and prophets, where it was immediately recognized by all as clothed in the splendors of incomparable glories, as the putative father, intimate friend of the Redeemer, worthy of highest veneration. Conformably to the will and mandate of the Lord, his arrival spread innumerable joy in the countless gathering of the saints by the announcement of the speedy rescue. It is necessary to mention that the long sickness and sufferings which preceded the death of St. Joseph was not the sole cause and occasion of his passing away. With all his infirmities, he could have extended the term of his life, if to them he had not joined the fire of intense love within his bosom. In order that his death might be more triumph of his love than of the effects of original sin, the Lord suspended the special and miraculous assistance by which his natural forces were enabled to withstand the violence of his love during his lifetime. As soon as this divine assistance was withdrawn, nature was overcome by his love, and the bonds and chains by which this most holy soul was detained in its mortal body were at once dissolved, and the separation of the soul from the body, in which thus consists, took place. Love was then the real cause of death of St. Joseph. As I have said above, this was at the same time the greatest and most glorious of all his infirmities. For in it death is but a sleep of the body, in the beginning of real life. The most fortunate of men, St. Joseph reached the age of 60 years in a few days. For at the age of 33, he espoused the Blessed Virgin. He lived with her a little longer than 27 years as her husband. When St. Joseph died, she had completed the half of her 42nd year, for she was espoused to St. Joseph at the age of 14. As stated in the first part, Book 2nd, Chapter 22nd, the 27 years of her married life completed her 42nd year, to which must be added the time from the 8th of September until the death of her blessed spouse. The Queen of Heaven still remained in the same disposition of natural perfection as in her 33rd year, for as already stated in the 13th chapter of this book, she showed no signs of decline or of more advanced age, or of weakness, but always remained in the same most perfect state of womanhood. She felt a natural sorrow due to the death of St. Joseph, for she loved him as her spouse, as a man preeminent in perfection and holiness, as her protector and benefactor. Skip on down to the words of Our Lady, our Holy Mother. My daughter, although thou hast described my spouse, Saint Joseph, as the most noble among the princes and saints of heavenly Jerusalem, yet neither canst thou properly manifest his eminent sanctity, nor can any of the mortals know it fully before they arrive at the vision of divinity. Then all of them will be filled with wonder and praise as the Lord will make them capable of understanding this sacrament. On the last day, when all the men shall be judged, the damned will bitterly bewail their sins and which prevented them from appreciating this powerful means of their salvation, and availing themselves as easily as he could have of this intercessor to gain the friendship of the just judge. The whole human race has much undervalued the privileges and prerogatives concealed to my blessed spouse, and they know not what his intercession with God is able to do. I assure thee, my dearest, that he is one of the greatly favored personage in divine presence, and has immense power to stay the arms of divine vengeance. I desire that thou be very thankful to the divine condescension for the vouchsafing thee so much light and knowledge regarding this mystery, and also for the favor which I am doing thee therein. From now on, during the rest of thy mortal life, see that thou advance in devotion and hearty love toward my spouse, and that thou bless the Lord for thus having favored him with such high privileges, and for having rejoiced me so much in knowledge of all his excellences. In all thy necessities thou must avail thyself of his intercession. Thou shouldest induce many to venerate him, and see that thy own religious distinguish themselves in their devotion to him. That which my spouse asks of the Lord in heaven is granted upon the earth, and on his intercession been many extraordinary favors for men, if they do not make themselves unworthy of receiving them. All these privileges were to be reward for the immeasurable perfection of this wonderful saint, and for his great virtues, for divine clemency is favorably drawn forth by them, and looks upon Saint Joseph with generous liberality, ready to shower down its marvelous mercies upon all those who avail themselves of his intercession. Finally, before we close, I'd like to ask St. Joseph to pray for Joey Weber, friend and classmate. He was given the name of Joseph as his baptismal name. May he give Joey rest and peace, and help all police officers, when the training is available, learn how to talk to and handle autistic people, that they take that training and take it seriously and learn it seriously, so that what happened to Joey doesn't happen again. Saint Joseph, terror of demons, protector of the Holy Church, pray for us at Order Militaris. Give strength to all of our members. Help them persevere in their faith, and help them grow in faith, and protect us from all snares of evil that are attacking Ordo Militaris currently, and those that will attack us in the future. Amen. Deus vult.